WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin, who's actually out with a little bit of an ailment. Seafood. Man, I'll tell you, being from New Orleans, I feel like I could go straight up Gollum from Lord of the Rings, snatch a fish out of the sea and take a bite of it and still be okay. But Al doesn't necessarily have that type of gullet, so he's out today. But he'll be back tomorrow, don't you worry about that. But hey, we've got a great show for everyone listening planned. Coming up, we're going to talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend and the drama that unfolded during it. The trade deadline coming up on Thursday. Who made a big move? Shout out my New Orleans Pelicans. Who is going to make a big move? And what could be on the horizon for the Detroit Pistons? That's right. They're involved in all sorts of crazy rumors. We're going to try to break down each and every one and let you know where the bad boys might be headed. So, besides that, also more basketball talk surrounding Michigan, a 9 seed in the latest USA Today projections. MSU also skating into the tournament as a 10 seed. We'll let you know how those teams will end up finishing the season, as well as if those rankings are accurate, who sits atop, who has the number one overall seeds in this year's tournament. Also, last week I was at East Lansing High School, and we'll deliver you a special feature from the team that's still undefeated. All that and so much more on today's Current Sports. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKR, and be a part of the show. In the studio with me, Grant Essenmacher will be helping out with the headliners. But first, the University of Michigan football team has hired former Vikings assistant coach Scott Turner to be an offensive analyst. This news comes about a week after Michigan was supposed to hire Michael Johnson to the same position, but he decided to take an offer at Oregon as a wide receivers coach instead. Turner has spent time the past three seasons as the Vikings quarterbacks coach, bringing along a young Teddy Bridgewater. Turner has also worked as a wide receivers coach with the Cleveland Browns. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing to put on a resume in the past. And is the son of longtime NFL head coach Norv Turner. Grant.
The newest college basketball AP poll was released Monday, with still undefeated Gonzaga retaining the top spot once again. The Zags received 59 of 65 first-place votes. Number 2, Villanova, got 5 first-place votes, while number 3, Kansas, received the other vote. Rounding out the top 5 are Arizona at 4 and UCLA at number 5. Those two teams also happen to play each other in primetime this Saturday night. ESPN's College Game Day will be there. Now, ESPN's bracketologist Joe Lenardi currently projects Villanova, Kansas, North Carolina, and Gonzaga as the 4 number one seeds in the tournament. The AP pool features just 3 Big Ten teams again, Purdue at 14, Wisconsin at 16, and Maryland at 24. And good news for the Michigan State Spartans, Wichita State also snuck in this week. Michigan State has a win over them this year, rounding out the top 25 at number 25.
All sorts of parity, just like college football, reminds me of earlier in the year. Deja vu. Michigan State women's golf finds themselves in 7th place of the 14-team field at the Central District Invitational. The tournament is being held in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and features some marquee schools like 7th-ranked Furman, North Carolina, Memphis, and Louisville also are parts of this tournament. The Spartans currently sit at a combined 28 over par after the first two rounds. Furman leads the tournament as the only team under par, and hey, they've got the benefit of good weather to practice in, posting a combined 5 under. MSU freshman Allison Gear leads all Spartans on Monday with a 2-round total 3 over par, good for 7th place individually. Final round play resumes this morning at 8:30 a.m.
All right, Isaac. Michigan and Michigan State basketball still find themselves on the bubble with just 3 weeks to go until Selection Sunday. Again, ESPN's Joe Lenardi currently projects Michigan State to be a 10 seed in the West region. And if that were to be the case, it would feature a first-round matchup with 7 seed South Carolina. Lenardi also projects Michigan to be a 9 seed in the East region, which would make their first-round matchup a game with 8 seed VCU. Michigan would most likely then find themselves facing number one Villanova if they were to beat VCU in that game. Michigan's next game is tomorrow at Rutgers, a game that will start at 6:30 on the Big Ten Network. And Michigan State's next tilt is set for Thursday when they welcome the Nebraska Cornhuskers to the Breslin Center for a 7 p.m. tip on ESPNU.
And six finalists were announced yesterday for Michigan's prestigious high school basketball's award, Mr. Michigan of Basketball. The finalists are Detroit Cornerstones, Jamal Kane, Detroit East English, Villages, Greg Elliott, North Farmington's Amari Hardy, Kalamazoo Central's Isaiah Livers, Grand Rapids Christian, Xavier Tillman, and Powers North Central's Jason Wittens. Four of the six finalists have already committed to Division I programs. Kane is a Marquette signing and a marquee Marquette signing at that. Hardy is committed to Oklahoma State. Livers is a Michigan commit. And Tillman, of course, that name sounds familiar to many in the area. He's a Michigan State signee. Elliott has interest from Detroit and Marquette and has also picked up an MSU offer along the way. Wins has offers from Division II schools and some smaller Division I as well.
All right, the Detroit Red Wings play host tonight to the New York Islanders after defeating the Eastern Conference's top two teams last week in the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals. Those Wings will just remain inconsistent all year, I guess. The Wings still remain in last place in the Atlantic Division, 8 points out of a playoff spot, leaving themselves dim odds to sneak in. The Islanders are one of the teams Detroit is chasing for a playoff spot. New York has just 7 regulation wins away from home this season. Detroit comes into the games to get 58 points, while the Islanders sit at 64 points. Detroit is likely to start Peter Mrazek at Golden Knight for the second straight game. Puck drop is scheduled for 7:30 p.m., and you can find the game on Fox Sports Detroit.
And y'all know there's a boogie going down in the NO. I'm not talking about Mardi Gras either. Following the big blockbuster deal that sent DeMarcus Cousins to the New Orleans Pelicans, news broke from basketball insiders Michael Scotto that the Detroit Pistons, that's right, the Bad Boys, also attempted to attain Cousins before the trade deadline. According to those reports, Stan Van Gundy and company tried to allure Andre Drummond in a deal that would have sent Cousins back to Detroit, swapping the all-star centers. However, the Kings reportedly declined the offer, and now Detroit is continuing to shop point guard Reggie Jackson in advance of Thursday's NBA trade deadline. The Pistons have been rumored to make a trade for quite a while now, with rumors swirling around both Jackson and Drummond. Some Timberwolves chatter involved in there. Time will only tell if Stan Van Gundy decides to pull the trigger and make the deal, effectively restarting the rebuilding process.
So the New York Jets all-pro cornerback Darrell Revis has found himself in hot water in recent days after being charged with 4 felonies and 1 misdemeanor following an incident early in the morning 2 Sundays ago. However, Revis' attorney claims that Revis did not punch anyone after TMZ leaked a video that supposedly shows Revis in a street brawl early that morning. The attorneys released a statement that defended Revis that said, quote, "Darrell Revis absolutely, categorically, and positively did not knock anyone out, did not conspire with anyone to commit an assault, did not say shut up before I knock your expletive out next, and sure did not rob another of a cell phone. Whatever the case may be, Revis may be in deep legal trouble that is not going away anytime soon."
Grant, thanks for your help, man. Boy, I love legal jargon. It just sounds so funny to me. Those are your current Sports Quick Hit headliners, though. If you have anything to contribute to today's hour, just get it off your chest. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKR. Share what's on your mind. Also, give me a follow at Isaac Constans, ISAACCONSTANS. But hey, we've got so much on tap for today's show. I don't want to waste any more time. Here's your intro for today, February 21st.
Listen, yeah, I'm going to address it. I address this every year. There are, around the league, there are, every GM is having 10 to 15 discussions a day. So did somebody mention any specific trade you have? The answer is probably yes. Okay, that doesn't mean it's considered or anything else. I mean, if we're going to go through, I mean, I'm sure Jeff had 50 things discussed yesterday. So all these rumors and stuff, look, I mean, I know it's fun for everybody, and you've got some source somewhere, and it's also all, I'm not denying that discussions take place all the time. That's a lot different than considerations, you know. Somebody says, hey, would you consider Ricky Rubio for Reggie Jackson? Well, did that discussion might have taken place, and clearly we didn't make that move. So I don't know if we want to report on all of those, you know. We wanted to see if they'd go Benajay for LeBron. So that discussion took place, okay? I mean, it took place. I mean, if I ask about a guy, that discussion took place.
There you heard the voice of Stan Van Gundy, head coach and president of the Detroit Pistons, just about a month ago when rumors were so hot and heavy surrounding Ricky Rubio coming to the Detroit Pistons in exchange for Reggie Jackson. Stan Van Gundy, I wouldn't say not having any of it, having some of it, but encouraging a little bit of restraint before engaging in all sorts of these different rumors. Ricky Rubio, of course, not a member of the Detroit Pistons as of yet, and Reggie Jackson still a part of the roster, but with the trade deadline looming just on the horizon coming on Thursday, we could still see some big moves in the offing for the Detroit Pistons and some of their star players, including Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson. My favorite part of that quote, and listen, I had to exclude a few expletives, so throwing a few dot, dot, dots into that one as well. But Michael Kabinje, the Pistons' small forward who really hasn't seen too much playing time throughout the course of this year, Stan Van Gundy was joking about how there are so many different rumors and so many different notions of trades happening throughout the NBA season that really all a source needs to say is we've had discussions, we've had talks. Basically, we engaged with another front office about the possibility of sending this one player for another player. And it doesn't mean that those trades are close to happening. It doesn't mean they're even possibilities. It doesn't mean that they met any fate besides the office shredder. But the thing is, the Detroit Pistons, they are seemingly embroiled with a lot of debate between the fan base, between the front office, between the players about where to go with this franchise. The Pistons, after a great showing last year in the first round of the playoffs when they faced the Cleveland Cavaliers and nobody expected too much from them, rookie Stanley Johnson then gets in LeBron's face and suddenly a fan base is encouraged, galvanized, reinvigorated, and the Detroit Pistons are the bad boys once again. My oh my, how a year changes things, doesn't it? I mean, while you'd rather be the Pistons than somebody like the Portland Trailblazers this year, the Detroit Pistons, yeah, they sit at the 8th seed. They're 27-30. It's been anything but a promising showing. Reggie Jackson hurt for a good half of the season so far, and Reggie Jackson coming back, he's had some good games, he's had some bad games. His decision-making has been questionable in just about every single one of them, and in some ways it looks like the Detroit Pistons are starting to favor backup point guard who really held it down in the stead of Reggie Jackson when he was hurt, but Ish Smith, guy who was on the New Orleans Pelicans last year amongst other teams, Ish Smith played well for the Detroit Pistons. Most recently, of course, we're coming out of the All-Star break, but the Detroit Pistons did topple the Dallas Mavericks 98-91, and Reggie played well. Nobody can take that away from him. 8 of 12. We also had 22 points on the night, but again, 4 assists. little bit paltry of a statistic for a point guard to post in that one. Then you go back just a few more games, and Reggie Jackson sees 17 minutes. Reggie's all over the place. The playing time for these so-called stars is so erratic for the Pistons, and it does make you wonder, is this sustainable? Well, the latest developments, and again, I want to commend Stan Van Gundy for such an eloquent answer with a few expletives that had to beep out. But besides that, about what goes on when it's the trade deadline. And throughout the course of an NBA team, as a GM, your job is to throw out fishing lines. It's just like fishing. You sit there, you wait, you see if you get a hit. Because the thing is, if you get a hit and if it's a big one, then you want to reel it in. But if it's a small little guppy, sometimes you got to cut it loose. You got to cut the line and just say, hey, I'm sorry. Even though we want something, we don't want you. That's not the one we are looking for. That one's a little bit too small. It's not enough. And that's fine. But sometimes you do haul in a shark or a barracuda or, I don't fish. Whatever the big prize is when you're fishing for some good meat. But the thing is, the Pistons right now, apparently they have done that with Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson. Stan Van Gundy did not deny the idea that, yeah, there are the lines being placed out there. They're looking for bites, but at the same time, that doesn't necessarily indicate that the team is discontent. That doesn't indicate that a trade is coming. The Pelicans, for example. Shout out to them for making one of the most lopsided trades in their favor and one of the best trades, as I think we might see develop, but at least at the time we can see it right now for what it is. That was very one-sided, very partial to the Pelicans. Trading Buddy Hield, essentially, Tyreek Evans, a first-round pick, as well as Langston Galloway for DeMarcus Cousins and Omri Caspi. Boogie down in the NO. Yeah, but anyway, what happened there? The Pelicans were not whatsoever discontent with the play of Buddy Hield. They like Langston Galloway. They signed him this year. He was a big reason why they beat the Cavaliers in a shocking upset earlier on. But the thing is, they got a bite, and Boogie is a shark. I mean, Boogie is a great white. That's something, a prized possession that you can hang on your mantle. That's a fishing story to tell for the longest time of your life. DeMarcus Cousins, 270 pounds, 6'11", actually, is built more like a shark. He's also aggressive, bellicose-like one. So the comparisons keep on going when it comes to DeMarcus. But the thing is, the Pelicans weren't necessarily unhappy with the guys they gave up. The thing is, they got a good haul. They needed something new. That's what the trade deadline is, and that's what the Pistons are fishing for right now. However, the thing is, these are players on the court, and sometimes feelings, they get tangled up. And you can't blame these guys who think that they've given it all to a franchise. Andre Drummond, been with Detroit his entire career. When he was drafted, he was actually rumored to be a top 3 or 4 pick in that draft. He fell to 9th. Same draft as Anthony Davis. And he was taken by the Detroit Pistons. He wanted to repay their loyalty. And my, oh my, has he over the course of his career. Andre Drummond has had a whale of a career with the bad boy Pistons, averaging 13.4 points, 12.8 rebounds, shooting 55%. That's nothing to turn your nose up at. Last year, he might have had his best year. No, forget that. He did have his best year as a member of the Detroit Pistons. No other team could rival the amount of 2020 games, 20 points, 20 rebounds, that he cranked out on a regular basis. His averages of 16.2 points and 14.8 rebounds were some of the best amongst centers. His rebounding rate was the best in the NBA. This year, he's even shooting a better percentage from the line, 44%. That was the biggest criticism of Drummond that was hailed last year, is that, you know what, the guy can't shoot free throws. You hack a Drummond, you get him off the court. That's why he only played 33 minutes a game on average, and suddenly the problem solved. But the thing is, this year, his style of play has maybe been a little bit less suitable. Maybe it's the small ball trend in the NBA. Maybe it's the fact that the Detroit Pistons are going in different directions. They like having these stretch big men now. They like having the Marcus Morrises. They like having the John Lewis, the Tobias Harrises. You can't blame them for that. But Andre Drummond's production has tapered just slightly, but it has. And there's a sense of, you know what, maybe this isn't the match made in heaven that everybody thought it was. Well, time to throw some fuel to the flames right here, because yesterday and this morning, Andre Drummond actually removed every single reference to the Detroit Pistons from his Twitter bio. Now it just says, "I'm free in Christ," Galatians 5:1, and then he's got some hashtag symbol that I don't totally get. His location is still New York, Connecticut, and Detroit, the place where he was born and grown, place he went to college, and of course the place he plays professional basketball. But it used to reference the fact that, hey, this guy is a professional baller for a prestigious franchise. No longer. Isaiah Thomas also 17 hours ago tweeted out the emoji. And I'm happy that players are tweeting with emojis now. One of the saddest things I ever saw was when Paul Pierce tweeted out a picture of an emoji. That really ages you. That dates you. But anyway, Isaiah Thomas tweeted out an emoji of two eyeballs, the skeptical eyeballs. The actual pupil is in like the bottom left-hand corner of the eye. It's a strange, kind of uncertain glance. Andre Drummond retweeted it. He then tweeted his own set of eyeballs, courtesy of an emoji. And 7 hours ago, he also tweeted hashtag new profile pic. And yeah, apparently he's got a new profile pic or something like that. But Andre Drummond, a lot of change. And you don't want to read too much into this ever. But the thing is, these rumors, they are meant to be read into. Players don't just do this off the top of their head. They don't do it out of the blue. They don't suddenly decide that, hey, I want to tweet a picture of a, or an emoji, excuse me, of a pair of eyeballs. That's not usually what the trend is for professional basketball. I'm not saying Andre Drummond's gone. Far from it. I think Reggie Jackson is far more likely to be the guy who actually gets shipped elsewhere, because I think the Pistons are willing to take less of a return for Reggie Jackson. But the thing is, the possibility is out there. They're sitting, they're waiting for a bite on that fishing line, and Andre Drummond seems to know it. If I'm the Pistons right now, I'm not saying I'm concerned. I'm saying that you have to be assertive. You need to be definitive. You need to make your mind up. Do you want these guys or do you not? Because right now, Andre Drummond seems as confused as anybody else where he's going. Is it the Celtics? Is it another team? He was rumored to be traded to the Kings, which actually would have been a better offer than what they received in return for DeMarcus Cousins, a top 10 player in this league. But Andre Drummond seems confused. Reggie Jackson, a guy who plays 31 minutes, 28 minutes, and 17. The number of a role player, that's what a guy like Omri Caspi, I'm not kidding, averages. And that's Reggie Jackson, the guy who was declared a year ago to be the face, the future of this franchise. That's the sporadic playing time that he's seen. This is not sustainable. You cannot go on like this if you are the Detroit Pistons. Make up your mind, decide whether you want these superstars, commit to them for more than a six-month course, or go on ahead and trade them and start going for some new guys, whether you want to rebuild and stock up the draft picks or whether you want to entirely pursue a new superstar. If you trade Andre Drummond with the Boston Celtics, hey, that's great. Bring in Al Horford, a Grand Ledge native. He went there for high school. He's a legend within that realm. Come back. The thing is, the Detroit Pistons, though, they seem lost. They seem to be without direction after a season where I think they made all the right moves. I call them the Bad Boys. I haven't always done that. I did not call them the Bad Boys back in 2011. You best believe that. But the Pistons have reestablished a brand of basketball that I do think is compatible with Detroit. They're moving to a new stadium next year. It's the last season in the Palace. I think the Pistons are establishing an identity, but that identity has to be consistent. Otherwise, if you don't like it, start over, scrap it, start a new one. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKR. Again, I'm Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. I know he's got his thoughts on the trade deadline as well. He and I were actually mixing it up about a couple of rumors. And, boy, Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls is also reportedly possibly on the out. That would be interesting considering that, boy, Jimmy's been featured in all sorts of different Chicago hoopla recently, including a feature with Chance the Rapper where they were talking about the city. Jimmy Butler, I also think, is one of the pillars of that franchise, as opposed to Dwayne Wade, who I think would be better to ship out if you're the Bulls just because he's old. He hasn't been there as long. But the Bulls certainly need to make a trade. The New Orleans Pelicans also, after acquiring DeMarcus Cousins. And real quick, I do want to, we didn't touch on this too much yesterday, but this front court that the Pelicans have assembled is the most talented since David Robinson and Tim Duncan. I'm not saying that they're going to achieve those exact same heights. They probably will not. That's a duo that got two championships for the San Antonio Spurs. That's not small pickings. But at the same time, when you look at Boogie, guy who averages 28 a game, 10 rebounds, and most importantly, 5 assists. This is a combo that can work. Both Anthony Davis, who's top 5 in scoring right now, also an elite rebounder and the leading shot blocker in the league. He also has the possibility and the capability to step outside, hit a couple threes, hit a couple of elbow shots, hit a couple from the baseline. That's important when you've got these two bigs paired next to each other because it lets them go in and out, high post, low post, one of the more effective strategies in basketball. And Andre Drummond and DeMarcus Cousins, since both have guard skills, both can pass, that will be vital for the New Orleans Pelicans. I think they easily make the playoffs this year. After that, we'll see. We'll see who can they can get in the offseason. That'll all determine what the future of this franchise will be, but that was a winning, positive move. Now, on the flip side of that, the Sacramento Kings. Yeah, the Kings were horrible, horrible in these negotiations. When you look at it, Sacramento admitted, Vlade Divac, the general manager, conceded that he had better offers on the table for DeMarcus Cousins 2 days ago. You didn't take him. Instead, you took Buddy Hield, a first-round draft pick, the Pelicans' current first-round draft pick. Then you also swept up Tyreek Evans, or the ghost of Tyreek Evans, the injured old man Tyreek Evans, who no longer can score 20 points in a single game. And then you also got Langston Galloway, who's probably the fifth or fourth best player on your team now. You plan to cut him, and you're tanking. I'm all fine and dandy when it comes to a good, organized, concerted tank. That's great. Look how the Boston Celtics did it. Now they're in the candidacy when it comes to signing some of the biggest names. If they get Andre Drummond, I think that makes a big difference for that team. I think they're a perennial threat in the East. But the tanking from the Sacramento Kings, boy, I've got no problem with rebuilding. Like I said, this is poor craftsmanship. That's as simple as it is. The 76ers can swap picks with the Sacramento Kings this year. That means that if they want, let's say the 76ers, as I predict they will, finish maybe 7th, 8th from the bottom in the NBA, that's just fine. They get to swap picks with now the Kings, who are devoid of any sort of value on their roster. Easy as that. Then suddenly, the Kings go from contenders for Alonzo Ball or a Marquette Falls, guys who do give you that easy upward path to rebuilding, and you're directly relevant. Once again, you've got that foundation, to somebody more like Malik Monk, who, listen, he's good. He's not going to be the guy to lead you out of the cellar into the future. Then the Kings also owe the 76ers their 2019 pick. This is the worst trade, objectively, since the Brooklyn Nets sent over, what, 5 first-rounders to the Boston Celtics in exchange for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce were the two most notable names in that exchange, and the Nets essentially sold their soul for it. The reason why this is the worst trade since then is because the Kings don't have a chance of rebuilding or revisiting their future, just like the Nets. But the thing is, at the time, I remember calling my friends, calling them up when the Nets made that deal and saying, hey guys, did you just hear the Nets just went from sixth seed to instant contender, instant favorite? They made these great moves. The thing is, they were a year too late. I mean, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, those guys weren't doing anything that resembled their past grandiose achievements. But at the same time, there was logic behind it. It's almost like the Kings front office just forgot that, oh shoot, we don't have our draft picks for the next few years after pulling the trigger. It really seems like that because there is no reason, there's no logic why the Kings should have made this trade. I'm also getting breaking news. The Lakers, who were in the mix for DeMarcus Cousins, they were rumored to have turned down a deal because they didn't want to give up second overall pick Brandon Ingram for DeMarcus Cousins, which surprised me, but maybe decent logic. I still like Ingram, has the body and wingspan of a Kevin Durant and Kevin Garnett, but not the talent there just yet. But he does have all the potential in the world. The mid-range shot, the turnaround bank is there for him all day long. But at the same time, they didn't want to get DeMarcus Cousins, again, a top 10 player with some serious problems when it comes to personality. They didn't want to give all that up and a few first rounders for DeMarcus. So the Kings went in another direction. They went down south to New Orleans. But the Lakers have fired GM Mitch Kupchak, famous basketball operator. And suddenly, Magic Johnson, he might be on the other side of the world for just a little bit. He's heading over to the Lakers to be the president of basketball operations. Congratulations to Mr. Magic Johnson. And you know what? I think that's the right move for this franchise. The thing is, the Lakers, they too were haunted by a ghost. It seems like this is the case for every single NBA team. But they sold their future to a man, not a team. They sold their future to Kobe Bryant when they gave him the most lucrative NBA contract at the time to a guy with no knees who was 38, 37, and who could not play more than 40 games in a season, shooting one of the worst efficiency marks we've seen. That's the Lakers for you. And they did a good job under those circumstances. I love D'Angelo Russell. I love Julius Randle. I like Brandon Ingram. But I think I could love Brandon Ingram if he does develop a little bit of that drive and finish game a little bit more than he currently has. The thing is, the Lakers, they did need a change, in my opinion, just because they had been holding on to the past for too long, and suddenly L.A. was not a place free agents like Russell Westbrook or Kevin Love wanted to go anymore. And that's embarrassing because L.A. is the most traditional franchise in the NBA, the second most championships of all time. You've got the glit, the glamour, the stars, Hollywood Boulevard every single time. It's like a theatrical performance. The stands are encased in darkness while the floor is lit up center stage for the best in the world to play. But guess who didn't want to go? Anybody decent. So I think this is the right move. Congratulations to Magic Johnson. But hey, if you've got any thoughts about the trade deadline, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll have more of that in just a bit. We're going to hit our first break right now. Coming out of that, also, a little more trade deadline talk. I want to invite Grant Essenmacher to the show, current sports production assistant. Help us digest just what's going on in the NBA. Also, East Lansing High School boys basketball still undefeated. Hear more about that coming out of the break. You're listening to WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. I'm your host for the day, Isaac Constance. Al Marin's got a case of the queasies. That's right. Some bad seafood. Actually, in the intro, I did a song called Don't Get Lost in the Sauce, which is a little bit multifaceted of meaning. If you know what don't get lost in the sauce is, it's a term coined by my man Gucci Mane, and it's essentially referring to don't get lost in the fame, the glamour, all of the publicity involved and all of that. So I thought that was a good segue into the trade deadline, but I'm also assuming that, boy, Al ate some secretions of fish that he probably shouldn't have had. So we're hoping he gets better. He will be back tomorrow, though. For right now, you've got me, Isaac Constance, and I want to bring on another voice to the show, Grant Essenmacher, to talk about the trade deadline. Grant, I know you're a big NBA guy. What do you expect to happen, and what have you made of the move so far?
Well, first of all, I think you, in terms of the New Orleans-Sacramento trade, I think you nailed it on the head. New Orleans got Boogie Cousins for not a whole lot. I mean, they gave up. The picks really are the biggest thing, I think. In terms of Buddy Hield and Langston Galloway, I think Hield could be a nice player in the NBA. Galloway, a good role player, come off the bench. He could start for some teams, but a good role player. Hield, like I said, I think he'll be a nice player. I don't think he's a star. I don't think he's a guy that's going to carry a franchise.
Yeah.
And I saw a quote the other day from Kings front office who said that one of them believed that Hield was going to be the next Steph Curry, which I think is just absurd. I don't see that at all. But in terms of the Pistons, listen, Stan Van Gundy has two options. You know, you put all your eggs in this bet. You put your eggs into the Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond basket. You said, I want to move forward with this core. When you sign Reggie to that extension, you have Drummond to an extension. KCP's up after this year, but this is the core he said he wanted to move forward with. And so if you're going to go ahead and break that up now, you better make a move that gets Pistons front office excited, at least for the future, or get some picks back, because otherwise you might be in some hot water. If you're going to put your eggs into that basket and it doesn't work out, you know, you might be in some hot water with the front office. And if you get draft picks back from a team that's willing to trade with you, this draft is one of the deeper ones in recent years. So I think Van Gundy would be smart in terms of getting picks back. You have a lot of good prospects, like you mentioned, Lonzo Ball, Josh Jackson. You have guys like that that could help turn a franchise around. But, you know, that's kind of a restart, rebuild sort of thing. So if you're going to do that, you have to have the blessing of the front office because you did put your eggs into the Drummond Jackson basket.
Well, and that's the thing. You got to look for draft picks when it comes to this, too, because of the Pistons. Let's face it, guys. They're not going to get higher than maybe a sixth seed in the East. That's as high as I can see them flying.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they get that, they most likely go out in the first round. If not, they go out in the second. To me, after acquiring Serge Ibaka from the Magic, another good move in my mind, the Raptors are now clearly the second best team. And I think that there's not really too much debate for that. I think that's exactly what they need to pair up front with Jonas Valanciunas. And then between DeMar DeRozan, Damari Carroll, and Kyle Lowry, that's a team that could be a sleeper to possibly upset LeBron for the first time in, what, 7 years in the Eastern Conference playoffs? But anyway, I mean, the Pistons, you know, it's the time where you've got to decide where you want to go. I do think that they should be active. I don't think Reggie Jackson belongs on this roster going forward. I've said that from the get-go, and I think Reggie Jackson is just an ill fit. I think he's an ill fit as a point guard. It's that simple. I don't think you can have a successful winning franchise with a guy who would rather shoot over a triple team than a guy who would rather pass to an open Andre Drummond, who shoots 55% if you just give it to him in the post down low. Come on. So that's a lot. Other thing that you brought up, which I liked, is the owners, the front office of the Kings. Boy, were they dumb. This reminds me of other moves, though. All of these owners, especially ones who aren't necessarily indoctrinated into the NBA from an early age, guys who haven't been following the league that long, they want full control. They want autonomy. Right. They shouldn't have it. Vivek Ranadive, the owner of the Kings, supposedly was really pushing for this move because he thinks Buddy Hield's going to be a star. I like Buddy Hield. Nobody wants to see Buddy Hield move. He's not going to be a star. He's going to be a solid 16-point-a-game, 39% from beyond the arc type player throughout his career, which is valuable. DeMarcus Cousins is a superstar. He's a generational. He's a millennial talent. And you traded him for Buddy Hield, an injured player, and a player you cut, and a first-round pick that's not even going to be in the lottery. Come on, Vivek. Also, you gave up Omri Caspi, who's a solid player. A different rant, though. Mikhail Prokhorov, though. Similar situation with the Nets. He helped push through that deal and orchestrate it where Boston got everyone. essentially. They traded everyone, but in the future, they got the Nets picks, which might lead them to attaining Lonzo Ball on top of Markelle Fultz, on top of Josh Jackson. Goodness knows how far this could stretch, but the Nets organization is dug into the ground. What I'm saying is, hey, kudos to the Lakers, because with hiring Magic Johnson, they made the right move for leaving it to the basketball guys to decide basketball decisions. That simple. Basketball, though, you know, it's in an interesting state now across college, high school. It's a time of unprecedented talent, if you ask me. And we see a lot of that talent coming right here locally. Bred in East Lansing, undefeated right now, 16-0, the number two team in the entire state of Michigan. That's the East Lansing basketball boys team. The Trojans, led by head coach and Brooklyn Bomber Steve Finnemore, is 13-0 within the league and in the top 99 nationally now. They cracked 100, led by junior, highly touted recruit Brandon Johns. This team has done some incredible things. And tonight, they have a game against Lansing Eastern. They're going to try to make it 17 in a row, a perfect record for this team with just four games remaining in the regular season. Can they keep it up? Last week, I was actually covering East Lansing with WKAR's own Katie Cook, and we threw together this neat feature about how this team's gelled on their way to a perfect undefeated record. Welcome to boys basketball practice at East Lansing High School. The team is undefeated this season with a 14-0 record. They work hard, but they try not to take themselves too seriously.
You know, when kids start playing basketball at a young age, it's all about fun.
That's Coach Steve Finnemore.
And as they grow and mature, I often wonder, where does the fun go? Why is everyone so serious nowadays?
Finnemore says he wasn't necessarily surprised by the performance of this year's team. He got a tip early on that this group might be something special.
I got an email when our senior class, we have five seniors, when they were in the seventh grade, I got an email from someone. And they said, Coach, you got to see our middle school team. 5 years later, sure enough, that person was right with the email.
The Trojans are ranked second in the state, and they currently sit atop their conference. So how does a team like that prepare for each game?
It's all about the mental mindset now. We're practicing, you know, mindfulness, to be in the moment. It sounds like a cliche. We talk about be where your feet are, this current, you know, this present moment. But they're teenagers. They're not really into this kind of stuff.
Finnemore might not think the players are into his be-in-the-moment talks, but they might be picking up on more than he thinks. Junior Brandon Johns leads the team in points. He says being in the moment is crucial.
It's really difficult, but I mean, that's really important to take it one game at a time, because if you're thinking about the future too much, it can really just mess with the game that's right in front of you.
Johns is ranked number one in the state of Michigan and 44th nationally by ESPN. He credits Coach Finnemore with helping him focus.
I've learned how to be mentally strong because he knows how to get on you if you're not doing your thing, and he knows how to just push you to the limit. So he's taught me really how to be very mentally strong.
And when it comes to the team, Johns and many of the players agree. The camaraderie the guys have with each other off the court might be the real recipe for their success. John says they have a pregame tradition.
We go to Subway before every game. We go to Subway and get an orange juice. And me personally, I think the orange juice is what kicks it, is what makes you play good. I got the juice,
I got yep. the juice. Johns expresses what his teammates mean to him.
Yeah, I don't know. They mean everything to me just because I've grown up with all of them. Just true childhood friends, and just mean the world to me, really.
Caleb Hoekstra is a senior who broke his leg earlier this year, and he's one of the captains on this team. He agrees that the players on this team have a special bond.
Being an observer from the sideline now, it is pretty remarkable to see just the chemistry that everybody has together and just the fun that we have playing with each other. It's something I really haven't seen being on other teams.
It seems like Finnemore's philosophy really has rubbed off on the team. Work hard, and don't forget to have fun.
You gotta have fun in life. You know, life is short. I'm only gonna be with these guys for a little while longer. I think society is getting to a point now, athletics especially, where things are too serious. So I try to keep it fun because, you know, you're going to look back a couple of years from now, you're going to say, wow, I didn't have any fun. So I want these kids looking back and say, wow, I had a lot of fun with Coach Finnemore.
For WKAR News, I'm Isaac Constance.
Side note, too, I think it's important to note that Steve Finnemore has cut down his daily coffee consumption rates from about 7 cups to 3. That's a good rate. Congrats to Coach Finnemore and the East Lansing boys basketball practice. And there's not too much to be on edge about this year. It's all been flowing perfectly. And of course, you're always nervous when it comes to an undefeated record or perfection. But this is a team that has overcome trial and tribulation throughout this year to reach the point that they're currently at. Brandon Johns earlier this season went off for a nearly 40-point game after going out with an eye injury in the second half. It seemed like it derailed the team's hopes for the game, hopes for the future, hopes for an undefeated season. It didn't. It was just that perseverance. And when you go to those practices over at East Lansing High School, I can tell you for a fact that they're a lot more fun than mine were. And I'm not saying that is a good or a bad thing. What I'm saying is, when you are on a team together, every single guy should feel like they're a part of it. Practice time should be game time, but at the same time, practice time should be a time where you work on the chemistry. That is actually something that you have to develop, and that's something that the East Lansing boys basketball team has developed fully. The senior leaders on this team, boy, Brandon Johns is only a junior, but Caleb Hoekstra leading from the bench, that was a guy who was great to talk to over the course of that interview because he went out earlier this year and, boy, broken leg, out for the season, his senior year. I had a friend who did the same thing. It's devastating. And not only was he a leader, he was the best three-point shooter. And I don't think this is a bold statement whatsoever. In the CAAC, forget blue, red, whatever you want, he was the best shooter within the area. He went out for this team and everybody's rallied around. They've stepped up. East Lansing, they can go deep. They can go shallow. They've got the starting five, but also the bench guys all come in, fill a role, and you see it in practice. Every single one treats this like it's a game. DeAndre Robinson as well. It was fun sitting in on that because he's a high-flying kid. Steve Finnemore encourages him to dunk, to go out and try to get on a fast break and throw one down, to make these awe-inspiring blocks and get somebody on a poster. That's what basketball should be. When you have that talent, it helps so much when you have a coach that fosters the mentality of loving the game in addition to going out there to win. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're going to hit our second break right now. Coming out, maybe just a little bit more NBA talk. I can't resist. It's such an exciting time of the year. But also, Michigan, a 9 seed in the latest rankings. MSU, sitting at 10. I'll let you know what I think about that and more coming out on WKR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. I'm your host just for the day, though, unfortunately. But Al Martin, regular host, I can't wait to have him back on the show because he and I still have a lot of talking to do when it comes to the NBA, the best bigs in the game following a colossal shakeup of the NBA scene. He's out for the day, though, with an injury of his own, right? I guess you could call it. He ate some bad seafood. So no Al Martin for today. He will be back tomorrow. And like I said, we'll have some good chatter about the trade deadline, college basketball. East Lansing also playing tonight against Lansing Eastern, trying to keep that perfect record going. Current Sports will have it all for you guys. So anyway, though, right now, MSU is a 10 seed as projected by USA Today in the NCAA tournament. According to their current rankings, MSU, probably a fair one. They'd be facing off against South Carolina and Orlando, but it's an interesting debacle because, of course, it's so much of the season is left to play. But at the same time, Michigan was put ahead as a 9 seed, as Grant Essenmacher, who's in the studio, pointed out to me, most likely because of their win over Wisconsin. I think that's a fair judgment when it comes to that. But the number one seeds in the tournament, we've got Villanova, North Carolina, Kansas, and Gonzaga. The regular suspects, I'll tell you what. The last four in, also the regular suspects, I'll tell you what. Syracuse, Tennessee, TCU, Clemson, the first four out, Kansas State, Georgia Tech, Wichita State, and Georgetown, plus USA Today notes that the Big Ten has 7 conference bids going to the tournament as of now, but no longer being considered is Nebraska, and just with the faintest breath of life left in them, Ohio State, I don't think they've got a chance. I think that they might as well be out of consideration as well. But Grant, what do you think of these newest rankings, fair or not fair, and will these hold up throughout the rest of the season?
I think they're fair. I mean, in Michigan's case specifically, you know, they got the win over Wisconsin. Wisconsin obviously is a good quality win for them. Michigan State still has that opportunity to get a win over Wisconsin at home. You know, the thing about Michigan State is they match up horribly with Purdue. The Big Ten only has 3 or so marquee teams that you can get quality wins over that the community will be like, wow, okay, they beat that team. You know, that's a good win that they can put on their resume. Maryland and Wisconsin are the other two. And Michigan State matches up so much better with Wisconsin and Maryland than they do with Purdue with all those big guys. So, you know, Wisconsin's a beatable team. They get them at home. They get Maryland on the road to end the season later on. That's a little bit tougher of a game because it's on the road. But Maryland also, very, very beatable team. But like I said, I think it's fair right now. Michigan State should be right around that bubble. That's what their resume says right now. They have a lot of losses. And the thing to look for, too, is if they do get to that 14-loss mark, and you know only 4 teams or so in the past, I think it was like 28 years, that have had 14 losses have gotten in. But Michigan State's, some of Michigan State's losses, especially in the non-conference, to all those good teams that they played early on, it might warner them getting in with 14 losses and being the 5th team to kind of break that mold.
I think that's a great point, and that is the magic number, 14. Last year, the worst teams from major conferences in the tournament who didn't win out were teams with 13 losses, that being Vanderbilt and Syracuse, who, as I mentioned, is once again on the bubble in the last 4 in currently. I've got to ask, Grant, does MSU get in?
I think ultimately they do. I think, you know, looking at the rest of their schedule, Nebraska at home this Thursday has to be a win. And then the rest of the schedule they have at Illinois, that should be a win. If they lose that game, they're going to be in some trouble getting into the tournament. But if they beat Illinois and Nebraska and maybe get a win over Wisconsin or Maryland, I think they're in for sure. If they go 2-2 the rest of the way, they probably have some work left to do in the Big Ten tournament. But the opportunity presents itself. The Big Ten tournament's pretty wide open. Like I said, there's only 3 teams that are really kind of above everybody else. Then there's kind of the mix of the rest of the team. So Michigan State can make a run in the Big Ten tournament and definitely bolster their resume later on.
Just 4 minutes left. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let me know what you make of the newest tournament rankings. Will the Spartans get in or will they not? That is the hot question burning around mid-Michigan right now in this hot February weather. But the Spartans currently sit at 16-11. As we've discussed, it's going to be interesting to see how they can round out the rest of the season. Next up, they've got Nebraska on Thursday at 7. That is a home game. Wisconsin, also a home game just 3 days later. That is Sunday at 4. Illinois, March 1st at 9. That's away. And then 24, Maryland, projected now as a 6th seed, will be on March 5th. That time is TBD. It will be interesting to say, as I stated on yesterday's show, I think it comes down to the Big Ten tournament for so much of this. The thing is, MSU, I could see them going 3-1, but if they have a bad loss in the Big Ten tourney, don't be surprised if they are kicked out, especially with the Aaron Harris injury. These voters are not exclusively looking for who's got the best resume. They're also looking for the quality of the teams. That's why you do go with teams that are in major conferences more often. But now that MSU has their senior leader hurt, one of their best perimeter defenders hurt, and one of the more explosive guys on the team when it comes to points production hurt. Yeah, it's going to be tough to replace that, and MSU will really need to make a case for themselves when it comes to tournament time. The point I'd make is, I don't know why anybody's surprised that MSU's on the bubble. This is where they've been trending all year long, and the potential word, the P word, it gets thrown around so much. Oh, this team will turn it around. It's just a matter of time. They're young. They've got room to grow. All of that. We hear that so much in sports, and so often you either have it or you don't. This team, we'll see if they have it. They might still turn it around, but their recent performance, some of the egregious losses to Michigan, to Penn State, to Ohio State, those aren't necessarily out of character for a team that lost earlier in the year to Northeastern, that couldn't win their scrimmages by more than 15. This is a team that I expected to have a few problems, and they certainly have. The last note of caution that I'd urge is, remember, folks, teams that are from major conferences like the Big Ten, which I mentioned has seven teams currently in this tournament projection. It's just a projection, but it's probably a pretty good one. They don't usually finish below the 12 seed. That's the absolute lowest I can think of those teams actually finishing. So when it comes down to it, MSU doesn't have all that much room. Being a 10 seed, boy, you're right on the ledge of the cliff. Watch out, Spartans. That wraps it up for today's Current Sports, though. You've been listening to me, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. Hopefully he stays off the crabs and the shrimp and all the good fish that he's eating and is back with us tomorrow. But we really appreciate y'all taking the time to tune in. Good talk about Andre Drummond possibly leaving the Pistons, Reggie Jackson, DeMarcus Cousins, Michigan State men's basketball, and East Lansing boys basketball. You'll be able to rehear that all tonight. I know you guys, so good you got to hear it twice, right? Yeah, but you'll be able to rehear that by going to wkr.org/currentsports. Anyway, that about wraps it up for me today on this warm February afternoon. Have a great one, people. You've been listening to WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks for your time. Bye.